Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now, I just want to carry on looking at some of the stuff we've been looking at the last few Tuesdays. And this morning, going to carry on really where we got to last week, which was there were four kind of stages or aspects of discipleship, and we were looking at point one, and we only got a little way into it. So we're going to carry on looking at that this morning. Over the weekend, outside the front of my house, I've got like a, well, it was about 15 foot high, a hedge. Hello, mate. How you doing? Outside the front of my house. And it was a bit of a mess. It was hanging out here and there. And I kept having different people, you know, with their sort of transit van pickup things come outside with Irish accents asking if I wanted my hedge cut and everything for a price. And I thought, well, crumbs, you know, I could do it for nothing, and rather than paying that. And so a friend of ours who lives around the corner lent me one of these hedge trimmers. You know, we petrol jobs with a big extension, then a big old thing on the end. And, you know, you look at this thing and think, yeah, brilliant, you know. And but then you look at the size of the hedge, 15 foot high, and you think, right, I've got to get up there somehow with this thing. And you can angle the what do you call things at the end? Yeah, you can angle the blades or whatever, or the cutters, so you can stand there and you know, obviously it's at right angles to the pole, but you can't always exactly see what you're doing. But it's a great little bit of kit. And so when you're standing on the ground with this thing, you think, yeah, brilliant. But then when you get sort of 12 foot up in the air on a ladder with this thing, and it's a bit of a wieldy thing, especially when you start stretching out over this thing and start cutting it, you know, you realise the ground's 12 or 14 foot down, and you don't want to kind of get your shorts caught on the ladder or take a step because you think the step's there and it's not, and sort of go for a Burton. But I looked at this thing and I thought, man, that's a bit of a challenge. When I stood there with this thing in my hand and realised I'm actually going to have to do this now. But at the same time, there was something in me that was like, but I want to do it. I really want to cut that hedge, take 2 or 3 feet off the top and make it look really, you know, sorted and everything. There was something in me that's like, I just want to do this. But at the same time, got this ladder, went to the top, first of all, just to how high is this thing, and felt like, okay, I've got to get this other thing up here now, the machine, and started the thing, and wing, 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 you know, Steve would probably be into this. You know, when you hear an engine, you just wing, wing, and you want to just, right, come on, you know, and everything. And thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Look at that. Cheers. Can do, will do. So in me, there was something that wanted to do it, but at the same time, I thought, am I actually going to be able to do this thing? Because it's quite wide across the top, and I hadn't done something like that before, that height. But so I started off with one size ladder, and I did a certain amount, but I realised that I can't actually do everything that I need to do unless I get a taller ladder. And so I went back down the NRC and swapped it for a even taller ladder, one that was not as stable either. And when I put that in front of the hedge to try and do the middle bits, and when I thought, well, I'm just going to climb to the top first, climb to the top of this thing, and you could feel the ladder kind of, it wasn't the most solid thing in the world. And Jane was out there, and she was kind of like, are you all right, you know? And I said, yeah, just hold the bottom of the ladder for a minute, will you, you know? And so I stood at the top, and actually I could see the top of the hedge, and I thought, man, this is high. And she's like, well, go on then, get on with it. And I'm like, thanks. She said, well, come on, you know, start the thing, get on with it, you know. And I'm like, you get up here and get on with it, you know. And but because I'd done a certain amount of the hedge, it's like, I'm going to finish this thing. But there have been a couple of moments, because it took quite a bit of time Friday night to do it, and I spent a little couple of hours on Saturday doing it, and an hour or two Sunday night, I think, or at some point. And I thought, I'm going to do this thing. But there were a couple of moments where I because some of the size of the things in the middle that were growing out the top, I thought, oh, this thing won't cut them. I can't reach it. And there were a couple of moments where I thought, I should have just paid these Irish guys to do it. Do you ever have a moment when you're doing a bit of DIY or a bit of gardening or something and you just get fed up with what you're doing? And because you've looked at it and thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to conquer that. And then you get halfway through thinking, actually, I don't know if I can do it. I wish I'd paid the bloke to do it. And instead of being out here for hours and hours and hours, I could be hanging out with my kids, I could have taken Jane out, I could have, you know, I could be doing something else instead of this flipping hedge out the front of my house, you know. And I said to Janet, I said, I've had enough of this. This is just winding me up. And she's like your wife does. She says, Clive, just get up there and get on with it. So I went back up to the top and sorted this thing out. I thought, I'm just going to hack this thing to bits now, because I got to the point where it's taking too long. So started this thing and right. And I said to Jane, you're going to have to hold the ladder because I'm not going to hang around anymore, you know. And so she was holding the ladder and I was just like, ah! I mean, I was literally doing that at the top of the ladder, you know. It's going, ah! Like that. Because also, after a while, because of the weight of this thing, your shoulders are going, you've got pain down there. And I'm like, I don't care! Ah! And everything that was sticking out was like, I'm going to get you! And even the thicker things, it's like, you're going through there! And I was whacking this thing, I was sawing it, and this thing is long. My back was aching, my arms were hurting, sweating like a whatever, stuff flying everywhere, bits of twig, and I was just, ah! And then got down off the ladder, dragged it, climbed up, ah! You know, all of that. And within about half an hour, the whole thing was done. And the rest of it, I looked at it, and actually it was square. It was like, wait a minute, heck, look at that, you know. What's that got to do with what we're talking about this morning? A lot of the time, we look at people as a massive challenge. There's something in us that wants to make a disciple. There's something in us that wants to see God do something. But at the same time, we think, oh, can I do it? I want to, but I don't know if I can. And I had this awesome tool in my hand that could rip this hedge to bits. There was a challenge. It was hard work. It was a lot of sweat, a bit messy, and a bit of clearing up to do afterwards. But I had something in my hand that was more than I needed to do the job. But I only really discovered what was really involved when I was in the middle of it. A couple of points I thought, man, I want to give up. I should pay somebody else to do it, or get somebody else to do the job instead. Then I could have been watching telly or sitting out in the sunshine or doing something else. But yet at the end, I crossed the road to have a look. Is it square? Is it straight? Jane was standing outside the front door and she said, wow, it's straight. And I said, well, what do you expect? I said, well, of course it's straight, my darling, you know, and all of that. But she said, wow, it's straight along the top and it's straight down the sides and all of that sort of. But there was a sense of, wow, look at that, it's brilliant. Now, if I'd paid a bloke 100 quid or whatever it was to do my hedge, what I'd have done, I'd arrive back home and I'd have been a holidaymaker. Because what I'd have done, I'd have stood in my driveway, looked at it and said, oh, it's not straight there, I've paid him to do that. Right, oi, come back to my house, I paid you, you haven't done it straight. So there'd be no sense of, wow, brilliant, look at that. We were part of that, we helped to do that. You see, and in our Christian lives, you know, with what we're going to look at this morning or carry on looking at, it's like we can look at people's lives and think, brilliant, we want to see something happen. But, you know, sometimes we don't move towards it because we're like, I'm not sure if I know what I'm going to do. Or you get in the middle of a situation where you want to invest in somebody, you're spending time with them, you're helping them to walk through some stuff, and it's a bit of a challenge. Maybe they don't have the attitude that you want them to have. Maybe you don't have the attitude that you need to have at that moment. And in the middle of it, you say, oh, flip, I should just get somebody else to do it. Now, we can't necessarily pay somebody else to do it, but you understand the analogy. Oh, I wouldn't have all this blood, sweat and tears, and I'd ripped up my arms doing a few bits and got stuff in my eyes and all of that, you know, bloodshot and a bit here and there. But it was at the end of the day, I looked at this thing at the end, it was like, man, that was worth it. And I stood there and thought, next time I'm going to still do it myself. I'm not going to get a bloke to do that. Because there was a sense of yes about it. Now, that's what investing in people does on the inside of you. That's what making disciples does on the inside of you. Even though you can be challenging, I can be challenging, anybody can be challenging in terms of how we want to invest, what we want to see happen in their lives, man, it is so worth it. Now, you got the tools, you got everything you need to accomplish everything that God wants to do through your life. So let's have a quick look at some stuff this morning. We're going to carry on looking at these four stages. The first one is salvation. And I think last week we kind of made the point of the need to really make sure that we people really repent and believe, that we bring them right through thoroughly in the right way to know God. It's not a quick decision, a quick prayer, but actually there's a depth of what God wants to do in somebody's life, that when they give their life to the Lord, what happens at that moment is really, really important in terms of what then happens afterwards. The depth of repentance determines the quality of the disciple and the life that you end up living. If we just give people a quick Jesus, a quick prayer, and you'll have it all, how many of you know that quite often people walk away like, well, I don't really know what happened or what went on there. It didn't really work. And they come back and say, well, I tried Jesus, but he didn't really do what you said he's going to do. So we'll have a look at some scriptures to go through some of that a bit more. We're going to be a bit practical as well. But firstly, if we're going to make disciples, we've got to know what we're making. Is that right? Yeah. I know some of you have seen this before. We just want to do a bit of a reminder. Shiny paper, isn't it? And of what we're doing, okay? So if we just do this for a minute. This isn't some occult sign, okay, just to let you know. Okay, so we're going to look at, this is a picture of what a disciple is, okay? So if we have a look in, just have a look in Matthew 22 for a minute. In verse 36, somebody came and challenged Jesus and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Then Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself." Then he says, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So we kind of said in the middle of the worship earlier that the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. The great commission is to go and make disciples, okay? So the first one is upward, love the Lord your God with everything you got. And the second one is love people with everything you got. And so what does that actually look like? How do you develop a relationship with God? Okay, time with him. So when you're spending time, what are you doing? Pray. Okay. Pray, yeah. Okay, but that can be incorporated in prayer then. Praying and listening. What else do you do? Worship. Anything else? The Word. Okay, so you develop a relationship with God basically through spending time with him, and that's a mix of talking, praying, worshipping, reading the Word, listening to him. So you develop a relationship with him in that way, okay? So that's, in one sense, that's the vertical of our lives, okay? Now, there's two kind of other things we're going to look at here. And it says there, love your neighbor as yourself. So there's two parts of that. There's, if we can use this word fellowship for a minute. So there's relationship within the body, okay? Relationship with other believers. What does the Bible say in terms of if we love one another as Jesus loved us, who sees that? Right? So Jesus implies that the love we have for one another is the most evangelistic thing that we have going for us. We can do events, we can do all kinds of stuff, but what is it that people can be blown away by an event, but that's not going to save them? And Jesus talks about the love that you have for one another. That's the love. If the world sees it, then they'll know that you are my disciples. Then they'll know you belong to me. They'll see this love and say, I want to not just have some of that, I want to be part of it. I want to be in it. So the fellowship that we have, the relationship we have with one another is absolutely key to what God wants to do. And then the second part of the horizontal of working out this relationship with God is, I don't really want to call it evangelism because then we put a cap on, and this is on my evangelistic thing rather than this is my lifestyle. But let's just call it outreach or whatever, but relationship with those that don't know God, okay? And so right at the heart of this whole thing has got to be Jesus. So he's right at the heart of your relationship with God, with Jesus. But also Jesus has got to be right at the heart of our relationships with one another. And as we are building relationship with friends that don't know Jesus, all of that side of things. And so for me, what I understand is this is The obedient Christian in action. Okay? When, a lot of the time when you talk to Christians and you ask them what a disciple is, they'll talk to you about this. You know, a disciple is somebody who knows Jesus, who's got a relationship with God, who prays. Most of the time people talk about relationship with God, but they don't often talk about a disciple is somebody who's got grown relationships within the body and is in right relationship with those in the body. But also, so a disciple is somebody who is reaching out to those that don't know Jesus and has got a great relationship with those that don't reach out. And so that, in one sense, as far as Jesus is concerned, is a disciple. Somebody who's walking with God is walking with God here, but is also walking with people in their lives also. You can't have one without the other. Jesus walked with God, but yet he walked with people. And because he walked with God, then people walk with him. Because Jesus was on a journey going somewhere and he began to take people with him. So if we understand that's the obedient Christian in action, that that's what a disciple looks like, if you like, then we're going to understand what we're looking to see happen in people's lives. So let's just have a quick look. Turn to Matthew chapter 13 for a minute. We'll have a quick look there at what the word says. Because last week we talked about the importance of really making sure that when people come to know Jesus, that first moment of giving their life to him really is thorough and they're really ready for giving their life to Jesus, okay? We're not here to rush people into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit does the work in people's lives to convict them, to show them their need. Ours is to love people, obviously, when I say give the gospel to them, you know, it's not just about going out and just preaching to everybody. In relationship with people, you're sharing your life, you're sharing the truth, you're sharing the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit that works and convicts and speaks to people. Now, all of this fits in the context of what God is speaking to us at the moment about sing over barrenness, sing over where nothing's happening. Because the singing releases the supernatural life of the Holy Spirit to begin to work in a situation, to begin to bring change and transformation in that situation. So we're singing over that, but also, you know, we're just at the beginnings of seeing lots of new people coming into the church, people becoming Christians. And so it's key that all of us know, what are we doing? What does a disciple look like? How do we begin to make disciples? Because this is going to be key to the future. And I'm speaking at something on Thursday up in Manchester, and it's a particular movement that they're having quite a bit of a sort of organisational change or whatever that's going on. And they've said, can you come and speak at this kind of look, this forum, 24-hour forum thing? And because, you know, as a movement, we've been very, this is what they said, we've been a kind of revival-orientated, meeting-centred movement. And we need to move from just being that kind of mindset where it's God's going to do it in a meeting and then we'll see it all happen. Through to, you know, a transformational kind of minded, outreaching kind of movement, but without losing the DNA of who we are. But how do we basically turn that inside out? And so they say, can you come and just share what's happening in Kingdom Faith over the last 5 years, or where you're going, or what God's done, the struggles, the challenges, how you've worked through things, what's working, what isn't, what have you still got to sort through, all of that. So it's going to be an interesting 24 hours. But that, you know, there's this kind of struggle going on in this particular movement, or they want to get to grips with some stuff because they're saying, you know, we know God is speaking about the future looking different than the past, and the way we go about what God wants to do now has got to be different from how we've done things in the past. So we want to get a grip of certain things. And this is what they said. We said we're great at making disciples of Christians, but we don't know how to make disciples of people that don't know God and where you start. You know, we're very much geared into those that have been Christians for a while, a long time, whatever, and certain things, but we need to really get a grip on some other things. And so I said, well, I'll come and just share what I can share, you know, and I'll learn from you guys, whatever, you know, you've got, and for 24 hours. And so all of that really, this fits in with the what we've got here, the singing over the barrenness and what the Holy Spirit does. But there's also the work that we then do with the Holy Spirit that makes sure that what the Holy Spirit does doesn't just last for a moment, but we've got to walk that out and see that kind of grow in people's lives. And so that moment of salvation is absolutely key to what happens in somebody's life. So let's have a look and in Matthew chapter 13. This is a really well-known parable, but just stay alert for a minute as we just look at this for a moment. Because lots of people, when they read this parable about the people's hearts or the ground of people's hearts, we often think of this as people either have one of these four types of hearts. Whereas actually, I believe that when Jesus spoke this, I believe he shows us the progression of what happens in somebody's heart to the point where they are then ready to give their life to Jesus. And what he's doing in this parable is showing us the state of somebody's heart and where they're at, so that we can pray into that and help them move from where their heart is to where their heart needs to be, so they are then ready to give their life to Jesus. So let's have a read for a minute and see what it says. Jesus says in verse 3, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, so he's talking about four different types of heart here for a minute, okay? Then let's have a look at verse 19, where he then, begins to describe verse 18. He begins to then describe what's going on in these four hearts. Listen then, verse 18, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Now, the path is the hardest piece of ground in this parable. And God wants to move people that have a hard heart towards him, and he wants to work in them, work in their heart, and get them to the point. Let's do it this way. So this is somebody's got a hard heart over here, but God wants to get them to the point where their heart is ready, like the soil that the seed can go in. The seed can then take root and come alive, so that God's life gets released in them, so they really are born again at this point. It's not just some people have a hard heart, and so when they give their life to Jesus, it kind of goes to a certain depth and doesn't carry on. Now, that happens if we lead people to the Lord at that moment. But actually, there's a process that goes on here. So it starts with Jesus saying, look, this is the hardest heart you're going to deal with. It's like a path that when the seed falls on it, it's really not going to take root. It's just going to bounce off and not take any root in their life. Then it says here, in verse 20, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word at once, The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. What's the rocky place? A path is something that's solid. A rocky place is something that was solid that has begun to be broken up. And so now there's a few cracks, there's a bit of a rocky thing, and so therefore the seeds can go beyond the solidity of a path or the hardness of somebody's heart where it's going to bounce off. And now something's beginning to be broken up, and so in that context the seed can begin to fall between some of the rocks and the cracks and actually maybe find a little bit of soil to take a little bit of root. But what does it say? It says that that man is one who receives it with joy. But since it has no root, he only lasts a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. And so therefore, there's like an emotional response that takes place at that level. And it's not really going to take root. And when some challenges come, when circumstances come, or when opposition comes, because there's no real root, it's like that seed either dies or it gets ripped up or it doesn't last. So let's have a look. So what's the next stage of what God wants to do in somebody's life to prepare them? Verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of the world choke it, making it unfruitful. So we've gone from having really hard heart over here to having a heart that's begun to be broken up, if you like. The hardness has begun to be broken down. It's a bit more rocky. There's a few possibilities. You can see the beginnings of somebody's opening up here. Maybe they're closer to giving their life to Jesus or responding. But then it talks about thorny ground. Now, thorny ground has the stones removed from it, taken out from it. So you start off with really hard ground, a hard heart. Then you start off with a heart that's being kind of worked on and broken up, if you like, or broken down, you know, from the hardness. But then as God continues to work, he's beginning to deal with the rocky stuff, the stones, if you like, and removing all of that so that their heart is more open and there's now just some thorny bits. Some little things that may be a bit sharp, that you're not going to plant and put your hand in there because you're going to, you know, get a few flesh wounds or whatever. But somebody's heart is much softer, it's more open. But God is sifting through and working, preparing somebody for that point of salvation. So I believe that's how God works. He works in people and gets them to the point where they are ready to respond. I don't believe this is a thing where it's just talking about Christians. You've got a Christian with a hard heart, you've got one with a stony heart, you've got one with a thorny heart, and then you've got one with a soily heart. And which one are you? Which one? You'd all like to be soily ones, wouldn't we? I think this is a process by which God says, look, here's somebody that doesn't want to know me, and I want to work a process in them and get them to the point where they are ready to give their life to me, where I've already dealt with a whole load of stuff here, so that when they get to here, that they can respond knowing and understanding, because the person who has the hard heart, he doesn't understand the things of God. And I don't believe it's right that we get people to respond quickly to God if they don't understand what they're doing. God gave us a mind and he wants us to understand what we're doing. If you understand what repentance and faith is, you can actually then pray through with understanding, with conviction, knowing this is what I want to do. And understand what is happening as I repent or as I respond to God. Because we've spent some time helping to move people from a real hard heart right through to a heart that is ready. And as they've gone, they've got more understanding. They've had more revelation. There's more openness. God has prepared them and got them ready for that moment to give their life to him. So then what does it say after that, the fourth stage? But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He's going to produce a crop yielding 160 or 30 times. Interesting. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, if somebody responds to me when they are really ready, there's going to be fruit that comes from their life. But if you try and get somebody to respond over here, there isn't fruit from their life. They actually fall away. Because these three stages, whether it's a path, rocky ground or thorny ground, each situation, what happens is they fall away. Either the word never takes root, or the circumstances of life drag them away, or the third one here is they've never really let go of the world. Do I really want this Jesus? Am I really prepared to let go of everything that I've lived? Do I really want to follow Jesus? Or are there still things that I really want to give myself to? And I believe that is an important process that we've got to pray through for people so they really do get to this point where I want to know Jesus. And that's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, that process, that could take a day. That could take 3 months. I don't know how long it can take. You know, it will vary. But if we're going to really make sure that people are going to become fruitful, then we've got to make sure that they are ready to give their lives to Jesus. That we don't want to rush them into the kingdom, right? Are you with me so far? So let's look up at three. There's three key things I believe are important to see this happen, okay? Firstly, we need to pray to break up the hard ground. So your prayer, my prayer for your friends and people that we're reaching that don't know Jesus, okay, when we pray for people, what are we actually praying? Sometimes I'm just praying for their salvation. Okay, but what are we actually praying for? We're praying for a change of heart. We're praying for, you know, if there's a hardness of heart there, we're praying for that hardness to be broken down. We're praying for that stony stuff to be broken down even more and to be cleared out. We're praying for the thorny, you know, we're praying for them to be get prepared to be saved, ready for salvation. Just give you a story. Some of you might have heard this before. A few years back, a couple of young people, we had a prayer week with the young people quite a few years ago. And a couple of the girls went into the prayer room and what we'd said to all the young people is, look, you know, we're going to pray for some, you know, who are your unsaved mates that you want to see come to know Jesus? And we're going to write the names on the wall and we're going to pray for these guys every day and everything. And so two girls went into the prayer room and they began to pray for these two friends of theirs that they really kind of felt God wanted to, you know, come to know him, to get saved. And so they began to pray for these guys and after a few minutes, they were kind of ran out of words and it was all a bit dry. There wasn't a lot of life in it. And they got, you know, and they looked at each other and they're a bit like, well, this is, what are we doing? And they're kind of like, well, and there was just nothing going on. And so they said, well, something's got to happen. So they kind of prayed and said, God, you know, we don't know how to pray. And we don't know what to pray for these two friends of ours to know you. We don't feel any, you know, passion or anything to see him saved. But, and basically, they began to pray, and God challenged both of them separately, and with a few questions into their own heart, and said, "Look, do you really want to see these people saved? Do you really want to see him saved? Are you prepared to let me break your heart for them, so that they come to know me?" And they were like, "Wow, okay." Said, "Well, God, you got to do it." So they began to pray. And God began to work in them and they began to cry and they began to pray and the rest of the hour went like that. And they were like, man, we can't wait till tomorrow. We're going to come back at the same time. So they came back the next day and they prayed and they were like, ah, you know, and because of what God was doing, they're really praying and they now believe, right, if we pray, something's going to happen. And every day that week, they went at the same time into the prayer room together and they just prayed for an hour for these two friends of theirs. And they said every hour just went like that. And because some of them were praying out of not, oh, I hope something happens, and what should I pray now? But they went in there and they had a passion. There was something that had happened, but it was the first prayer session. It took about 20, 25 minutes, they said, of just not really feeling anything was going on, and this is really hard work. And it was like God was saying to them, do you really want to see your friend saved? Do you really want to see him saved? And they were like, yeah, God, you know. And there were some things they had to repent of that God spoke to them about, and they did that. But the rest of the week, they were praying into this thing. There's amazing things happened over the next few weeks. Both these friends, a couple of guys, there was one a week after that they finished the prayer week, these guys one day at college came up to them and they said, we've stopped taking drugs. And they're like, what? And we got some stuff the other day and we both went down the park and everything and we were just rolling up some stuff and we were sitting there and we looked at each other and went, why are we doing this? What and it was like it was weird. They said, "Why are we doing this?" And so we've lobbed the stuff, and we got rid of it. So we stopped taking drugs. And these two girls are like, "Brilliant!" You know, it's like, how did that happen? You know, and so they were still praying for these guys. The following week, these guys said, "We've stopped smoking." No, it was drinking. That's right. Drinking was the second thing. We've stopped drinking, and they're like, why is that then? And they said, well, I don't know. We went down the off license and we bought loads of cans the other night. We were going down the park to just, you know, have a few cans and that. And as we were walking down towards the park, we were talking and saying, why have we just bought all this beer? What's the point of going and getting drunk? And as we were walking down there, we were like, we don't need to do this. There must be more than doing this. So they said, we just walked past a bin and we binned all this stuff and thought, right, okay, we're not going to drink anymore. We don't need it. Now, these guys are still not saved, right? But these girls have been praying for them. See, what's God doing at first? Because when the girls first started praying, these guys weren't interested. Their hearts were like paths. And they began to pray. As they began to pray, God began to work in them. The guys didn't realize it, but this path of hard ground, if you like, in their life, in their hearts, had begun to get broken up. Well, I don't really want to do drugs anymore. And then it was, well, I don't really want to drink anymore. The following week, these lads said to them, we've stopped smoking. And they're like, have you? And they're like, yeah, we were walking down, you know, and we were smoking. And we were like, why do we smoke? What does this actually do? This is killing us. And this is not good for our body. So they we've stopped smoking. And these girls are like, this is working. You know, we haven't said anything to them since we've been praying. It's interesting. They tried to talk to them before about Jesus. They've never been interested. They're like, yeah, whatever, that's for you. But since they've been praying, they weren't having conversations with them about the Lord, because they were like, well, they were praying and God was doing something in them. The following week, this happened 4 weeks in a row. The following week, they were chatting away at college, and these lads said, we've had a conversation about swearing. We're not going to swear anymore. And so these girls are like, what is going on? A few weeks ago, they were doing drugs, they were getting drunk, they were smoking, their language was this, that, and the other. A few weeks later, they're like, we've given up this, given up that. And these girls are like, man, they haven't even given their lives to Jesus yet. But yet God's obviously working in them. Then it got to the point where they said to the girls, can you tell us about Jesus? That was the following week. So 5 weeks in a row, these things happened. It sounds a bit of a fairy tale story, doesn't it? But this is what happened. And the fifth week, they said, can you tell us about Jesus? You told him about us before, but can you tell us? So basically they were like, we want to give a life to Jesus. We want to be Christians like you guys. Now, that was a few years ago. Both these guys are still going on with God now. One of them, when he went to university, ended up leading the Christian Union in his university. And they're both, you know, going for it with God and everything, with what they're doing now. And so it's like these girls tried, when their mates had hard hearts, they tried to tell them about Jesus, you know, all this sort of stuff, but they just weren't open. But yet the prayer, not just praying a few prayers, but they got before God and God did something in them and they began to pray and God began to work in their mates' hearts to the point that when they came and said, we want to know Jesus. Because now the hardness had been, the broken things, the thorns have been taken out, and the soil of their heart, if you like, was ready to now receive what God wanted to put in there. And so we don't want to underestimate the power of prayer, but prayer breaks up the hard ground and prepares people to be saved. It's not just the gospel that prepares people to be saved. It's the gospel that actually enables people to step into salvation. But actually, there's a work in prayer that we need to do. Now, that's where the old hedge cutting comes in. I want to see my hedge really flat, you know, straight down the sides. It needs to look really great. But I looked at it, and when I suddenly realized, man, this is going to be a bit of hard work. Am I prepared to do it? Halfway through, I was like, this is just winding me up. I'm caked in stuff. I've got stuff in my eyes. My body's aching. And I can still see all the bits in the middle of the top of the hedge that I cannot reach. And they're still there looking at me going, you can't get me, you can't get me. And I'm looking, so I'm going to have you. I'm going to get a bigger ladder and I'm going to have you so that my hedge is straight. Do you know what I mean? So as with all this challenge that's going on, and so inside of you, that's going on right now. I want to see people's lives really straight, sorted and everything. But you know, man, there's going to be some hard work involved in this. And some of that hard work, the prayer, if you like, because prayer is work, isn't it, at times. Sometimes you have to really engage your will. Man, you have to really decide, I'm going to pray into this. Because prayer, you know, is not based on our emotions, is it? Sometimes you feel like, man, I just want to pray. Hey, hallelujah. You get in there and you pray for. Other times you're like, oh, I'd rather do something else. But you know, man, I need to pray for these people. And sometimes you just have to make a decision. I'm going to do this now. I'm not going to leave it till later, because if I do, I won't get around to it. So I'm going to go for 10 minutes even. I'm just going to go, right, I'm going to pray into this right now and begin to engage with God, engage with his heart, and just pray out of my will now. Not out of my emotions or out of a shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I'm just going to pray out of my will now, because this is what God wants to do. And if something happens and I feel something, great. But if not, I'm just going to pray from my will. Because what I understand is God is moving people, this person I'm praying for, from here along this process till they get to this point here. So prayer breaks up the ground. Another part that's really important is consistency, in terms of our love for people, all right? Because we pray for them, but then we want to love people. So we're not here to judge them, tell them what's wrong with their lives and what they're supposed to get sorted. That's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. You know, we're here to love people, serve people, and just therefore be a consistency in our relationship with people. Because if we're going to see people really come right through and make disciples, then we want to build a relationship with them as well. So the third part of that consistency, showing love and care for people, is building relationships. To make disciples, there needs to be a relationship. So there's got to be friendship, which builds respect, which then they people open up to be discipled. And this is what's important. This is why, really, from a biblical point of view, there's no such thing as follow-up. There is, in the Bible, there's no such thing as follow-up. You know, well, somebody made a decision on Sunday. Who's going to follow them up? What do we mean by that? Who's going to go and visit and have a quick prayer, see how they're doing? No. The Bible talks about making disciples. Now, we know some people do turn up on Sunday or whatever, and people do make some quick decisions. Sometimes the quick decisions are the toughest ones to work with afterwards because there's a bit of an emotional response or whatever. But that's why what we say, just using Sunday as an example, when we talk with people or pray with people afterwards, we've got to find out, where are they at? At what point are they in terms of their heart? Are they just very emotional this morning? Okay, that's fine. Are they really ready, or is there a journey that God's got them on? Is there a process that God's working through with them? So who is it that's praying for this person? Who is the friend of this person? Who's brought them today? Or it's a bit more unusual for somebody just to turn up out of the blue. Somebody's normally brought somebody. So who is it that's praying? So what is going on to help move this person from maybe a rocky heart where you can tell something's going on, but there's a bit more of an emotional response, but they're not necessarily right there yet to give their lives to Jesus. You know, or you think, well, actually, these guys are really close, but yet there's still some stuff that God's obviously doing. I'm not saying we're judging where people are at, but actually we've got to have a bit of discernment. You know, what is God doing? Where's this person at? What is happening at this moment? Are they really ready to say, Jesus, I want to completely give you absolutely everything? Because people need to get saved with understanding, not just with emotion or with the moment, you know. And you know as well as I do, you know, when somebody's under conviction of what's going on in their life, you know, and you can work with conviction. But we don't want to force people through to making some kind of decision. And so that's where the more people that are responding at the moment, we don't just want to assign people. Here's somebody, can you follow them up? It's like, well, actually, unless we're going to really understand, I'm not following them up, I'm actually making a disciple here. What does it mean? That means you have to give yourself to that person. It's not just, well, I'll see you one night a week for an hour and we'll just go through a few scriptures, see how you're doing. That's a Bible study. That's not making a disciple. And so if we're going to make disciples, it's like, are we really prepared to look at that hedge, look at that life and say, right, I'm going to see this out until the end. Because you know it's going to be hard work, and you know it's going to stretch you. Maybe it's going to take you beyond what you're comfortable with. And you know that when I went from one size ladder, because I thought because of the length of this thing and that you could do an angle, I thought, well, I only need to be that high and I can just do the rest. Man, it was impossible. So I had to get another ladder, and it was like, man, when I stood on the top of it the first time, I thought, man, this is high. I think I only feel safe enough to use a little pair of thingies, let alone a whacking great thing that. Is a bit awkward and unwieldy, and I don't want to fall off this thing. But yet, I thought, that's the only way I'm going to get the job done. And it's interesting, the first time I went to the top of it with this big hedge cutter thing, I mean, I felt really like, man, I was leaning, I made sure the front of the ladder was right in the hedge, right? And thought, even if I'm going to do a little bit, I want to make sure this is going to work rather than falling off. And so the top bar of the ladder, I made sure I was leaning with my legs right against it. I'm not going left or backwards or, you know. And I just did a little bit, you know, it's like, because it was a bit like, right, is this okay? Am I going to tip or whatever? And as the more I did, the more I realised, actually, this thing's more stable than I thought. I could be a bit more gung-ho than I thought. And after moving the ladder two or three times, by the time I got to the other end, it was like, ah, at the top of this ladder, standing 12 foot off the ground. I mean, you know, I was kind of level with the roof of my house. It's like, this is high, my roof is there. But it didn't take long before I'd gone from, I gingerly got up the first time and stood there, is this going to work? To within, you know, half an hour, Jane, hang on to the ladder, will you? You know. But I think that's what happens in our lives. If we move towards what God's moving towards, it releases confidence and faith to see things happen. And we never know what we're going to discover until we get there. We're never going to know what God's can do and will do in somebody's life until we get there in their life. And for me, I got, you know, at the end when we looked at this hedge, it was this sense of, that was brilliant. I wouldn't mind doing that again now. That's actually what I was standing. I think, oh, it's a shame I finished. That's what went on. I was like, oh, I finished. That's a shame. I wanted to do more. And that's what happens, I think, when we invest in people. You look at their lives, you know, God, this is brilliant. Look at what you're doing in their life. I want more. You know, I want to see more happen. Is there somebody else that I can invest in? Paul Taylor's got that bug, haven't you, mate? But how do you get that bug? By doing it. But there are certain stitch points, aren't they? Breakthrough moments. Oh, this is too horrible. Oh, I don't know if I can. That's where, just carry on. And we'll begin to see the breakthrough in people's lives. Okay, kind of time's ticking away, really. It's 9:10. I don't know, we could carry on or we could... Yeah, I know, it's 9:10, that's the only thing. The Bible is... No, it'll take too long. If I do the next bit, it's going to take half an hour to do that. Right, let's stand up, shall we? That's enough for this morning, enough to begin to work with. All of us have either got people in our family, we've got friends, people that we know. All of us have got people that that don't know Jesus, or there's things happening in their life at this moment. And firstly, I just want to encourage you, no matter what your situation is, just to really persevere, first of all. Don't be put off by what you see. Don't be put off by what you hear from your friends, your family, whether it's your parents or your kids, you know, whether they're walking with God or not. You know, don't be put off by the circumstances. Just know that, right, there's a grace that God wants to give you this morning to enable you to persevere, to endure, and to just stay right in there in prayer to see those people that you love, that I love, that we love, move from where they are to where God wants them to be. To that point where they are like, Jesus, I want to know you. And I want to give my life to you and live for you for the rest of my days. That's beginning to happen in people as they respond. That depth of repentance, that depth of response in people's lives. But, you know, we need to be prepared. Okay, Father, I need your grace in a fresh way. Because for some people in the room, you've been praying for people in your family or friends for a while, and you feel like, God, it never seems to change. Or it just seems to be hard work. When am I going to see a breakthrough? Well, don't give up at this moment. Because often when it gets to that point of frustration, that's when things begin to happen. And so I'm just going to pray. We're going to pray for fresh grace upon every one of us, particularly if you've been really praying into something for a while. Fresh grace just to persevere, to keep enduring, because that God is at work and he is working and moving people from, if you like, having a real hard heart right through to having the heart like that soil that's ready for the seed to go into. So let's just raise our hands for a moment. Father, I thank you for those that we love, family and friends that don't know you at this moment. Father, we thank you that you are at work in their lives. No matter what we see or what we hear from their lips, we thank you that you are at work. You must be. If we're praying for them, you must be at work in their lives. It's impossible if we are praying for them that nothing's happening. It's impossible. Father, when we begin to bring you into the situation, something begins to take place. It has to, because you're getting involved in it. And so, Father, I thank you for fresh grace right now for every person here or listening to the message that has been persevering and enduring, that's been really seeking to see something happen in their family or friends. Father, I thank you for fresh grace right now to really pray at another level than they have been. Father, I thank you for that breakthrough in their friends and family's lives that is taking place, that you're moving people from hard hearts to rocky hearts to thorny hearts. And they're ready for those real soily hearts that are ready to respond to you with a depth of repentance and conviction. and that real repentance and faith that transforms people's lives so that the depth of their repentance produces a quality of disciple. Father, I thank you. You give us eyes to see. In the middle of the circumstances, eyes of faith to see the outcome of what you are doing. That we don't pray according to what it looks like, but we pray according to what you have said and what your will is for people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for discernment for every one of us. That when we're with people that are responding to you, Father, I thank you for discernment to know where are they at? What is actually going on? That we don't rush people, we don't force people, but we really allow you, Holy Spirit, to do the work that only you can do to move people to that point where they are ready to really respond fully to you. Father, I thank you for that discernment right now, that sensitivity to see, okay, this person's here at this moment. I just need to encourage them, keep praying for them. God is at work. I tell you, if you are praying for them, the enemy, the devil, cannot snatch them away from God's purposes. If you are praying for somebody, it's like you are putting like a wall of protection around their life that the enemy cannot steal, kill, or destroy. Because you are interceding for them. You're standing in the gap, as it were. You're standing between God and them, and you are their connection with God, praying for them. You're holding on to them with one hand and God with the other. And it's like, God, I'm praying for my son, my daughter, my mum, my dad, my uncle, my auntie, my friend, my work colleague. I'm standing in the gap and I believe, Father, as I pray, there's a divine connection happening between you and that person that you're working in their heart, you're softening their heart. You're beginning to reveal who you are. You're doing things in them, getting them ready to really respond fully so their life is completely transformed for the rest of their days because of the depth of what you're doing in them. Father, I thank you. That's why we prayed earlier for a tenacity of spirit for every person in this room and for every person who's listening to this message. A tenacity of spirit that says, I will not let go of what God has said is going to happen through my life, in my family, my friends, or whoever it may be. I'm going to hold on and keep going until I see fully them come right through into your purposes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, this is all part of sons to fathers. It's what's involved in having kids, if you like. There's a moment of giving birth, and that's the moment people give their lives to the Lord. There's a bit of a process that goes on where the baby's growing in the womb, it gets until it's ready to be born. It's a process that goes on. It's the same with people's hearts. It's a process till they are ready to be born. Sometimes when somebody's pregnant, you know, you get to that point where, I've had enough. I just want to have this baby and all of that. And, you know, you can get to that point, can't you? That's what my wife told me anyway. You get to that point where you're like, I just want this baby out, you know. But actually, you can't rush. The baby will come when it's ready. When the process has been fully worked, then the baby will be born. And it's the same. There's a process. And we're involved in that process, praying for people, loving people, serving people, building relationships, until they are ready. It's great to have vision for the nation. It's great to have vision for other nations. It's great to believe God for transformation in our nation. That's what we live for, to see God move all over our nation. But something that's happening in many, many churches now is the amount of people, there's just a new release of people getting saved around the country. And we must get a hold of what it really means to make disciples. We're not here, it's not follow-up. It's not, would you mind doing the leadership a favor by meeting with that person this week? That's we're here to make disciples. Better to have two or three people that you really invest in over a couple of years, and they really grow in the things of God, and then they begin to do the same. Better to do that than us just reach more and more and more and more people, but never really see all those people respond to God. Better to see a few respond and really make disciples, and then they do the same, and it multiplies that way. Because there's a depth of what God is doing in people's lives. So, Father, I thank you for Ephesians 4. We talk about the fivefold ministry there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Father, I thank you for an equipping that's taking place at this moment to equip us to really make disciples, to see people's lives completely transformed, Father, coming right through to know you and then to walk with you, Father, that they become fruitful in your kingdom themselves. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Cool.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.